Soul.
Welcome to the Higher Self Activation Podcast. My name is Ligia, and I'm here to help you find trust, let go of control, and see more aligned results with less hustle. We will bring the cosmos and multidimensional consciousness into the here and now, making energy tangible and easy to understand. Now let's get started with today's episode. So today I have Hyla here with me, and I'm so excited for this conversation because Hyla is an amazing leadership coach, and what I've experienced from her firsthand in her ceremonies is amazing with shadow work. Hyla, I love your approach when it comes to shadow work and reframing what that looks like. So anyways, I'm just super excited to have you here with us today to allow the listeners to tap into your magic and your knowledge in this episode. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yes, me too. So today we're going to be talking about shadow work and where to start, the biggest shifts that you've experienced and I've experienced. But I joined one ceremony that you hosted and you guided us through a beautiful journey and energy alchemy and all about bringing our awareness to your shadow, that merging aspect. And I remember you brought something that really resonated, how you approach limiting beliefs and the self-sabotage thing. So can you share with the listeners a bit more about how you see that part particularly of, you know, personal development? Because there's so much noise and so much, we hear so much about reframing your limiting beliefs and the self-sabotage from your ego. And also, how do you see that?
Yeah, so one thing that I really, really love is I love the understanding of working with energy. A lot of people don't take into consideration that the primary movement and creation and dissolution, all of this stuff comes from energy, right? Everything is primarily based on energy. And so sometimes the methods and the practices that we have in the self-development arena is very much in this strong, toxic, masculine, old paradigm way of being. And, you know, terms that I've used so often, you know, on my journey in the beginning, especially like self-sabotage and limiting beliefs are very, if you even say it and you hear it, it feels like your body or your mind is against you. And that's just not true. Everything that our body and our mind does, even the ego, it does to protect you, right? The programming that was installed within us, first of all, was installed within us because of survival tactics that has, you know, just been really drilled within our lineage over and over and over again. So it comes from fear. It comes from fear of loss or, you know, just these deep-rooted fears. And so if your mother did that or did a specific thing to you that may have hurt you now or maybe playing out in a toxic way, she did not do that because she wanted to inflict pain on you. It was because of her own fears. It was protection. And so now your body has been trained to protect you in that way. And, you know, protection comes from love. It comes from not wanting you to get hurt, not wanting you to lose. And so we need to come back to our bodies, to return to our minds and our body and our program and really thank it for what it's done for us up until now. It's served us up until this point. And the only way to truly work with these belief systems and these programmings and these shadows is to come from a place of love. Because what love does is it circulates energy. If we come from a place of blame, it's just going to contract. It's going to solidify. It's not going to move. And so what a lot of these methods, like limiting belief, you know, practices where they make you override it and you're, you know, overpowering them or hustling through them, or you just got to do it, you just got to move forward. You are ignoring what's there. You're suppressing what's there, and you're pushing the shadow further into the darkness. And what does something do when it's suppressed? It lashes out.
Mm.
And that's where the term self-sabotage comes in. But the way that we look at the shadow in the style of practice that I follow is we see the shadow as a wounded child. And who in their right mind that is, you know, evolved and spiritually mature would suppress or talk down at a child that is wounded or is traumatized? Who would tell them to go into a dark room and stay there and stay shut and be quiet? Do not come out. Do not talk. You're ruining my life. We can't do that to the suppressed and wounded parts of ourselves. We need to come at it from a place of love. So labeling our shadows as limiting beliefs, as self-sabotaging techniques that, you know, just lash out at us and try to destroy us and defeat us, and we just have to override it and hustle through it. That is not, that's the same type of parenting, if you really pay attention to that. That's the same type of parenting that created the shadow in the first place. Mm. And as we all know, we cannot shift or evolve or heal from the same state of consciousness from which that trauma was created in the first place.
Wow, this is so good. And it makes so much sense. I love the word that you used there, because you said when we suppress that, we come from that contractive energy. And that just brings me to how against the stream that is energetically, because energy is always trying to expand. So when you're coming from that contractive energy, you're just not allowing a process that is natural, and you're getting in the way trying to suppress that. And I love the analogy when you're looking at those aspects from a place of compassion, awareness, yeah, but from love and from compassion, from like looking at this child, it completely shifts the way we feel about it. And that hustle that can come from personal development that often feels heavy. It's like, I need to improve myself because there is something to heal or fix, because I see the broken parts that are just not good as they are. And it's exactly. So powerful to reframe that.
Yes, for sure. You know, the reframe, and it's such a simple reframe, right? Mm. It's such a simple shift. But in reality, we can play around with it right now because of all the work that we've done. But in reality, it's not energetically a simple shift. Because when we come from that place, there's a lot of shame and guilt. And once we start to bring in love, what happens is that energy starts to circulate, and the things that we've suppressed for so long start to rise to the surface. And if we do not know how to witness ourselves in the process and hold a sacred space for ourselves, then we just don't have yet, you know, the capacity to actually process that wave and that ocean, that vastness of emotions and feelings and stories that are now coming up that we've suppressed for so long. Mm. And so it truly is such a courageous move for humans to move through shadow work. It's no joke. I was actually yesterday connected with my medicine guide from Miami, and she asked me how my year was going, and I said, it's great. And she said, mine's great too. And I was like, yeah, I've been doing shadow work. And she goes, oh my God, me too. She's like, so I guess our definitions of great is completely different from most of humanity. I was like, yeah, my definition of great is being deep in the process and seeing all of my truths, because my healing will be directly reflected to humanity if I do not lead from a place of my own internal healing, I will be continuously projecting, and my projections will come from suppression and pain. And how do we heal? And a big thing that we're seeing in the leadership community is that people get really excited with being educated. And, you know, maybe people will even go to school or have a study with mentors for years and years and years, but it is not embodied. They have just learned a technique or a method. Now they're leading other people through it, but they have not yet let themselves. And they don't understand that the biggest impact that they can ever make is to heal themselves and stop the karmic patterns in their lineage.
And I'm seeing from a lot that suppression.
Yes, it's all due to the suppression. And it's also really interesting because you can tell that when you try to come to that person from a place of love, it triggers them because love makes us see things that we don't want to see.
Yes. This reminds me of a book that I loved. If I'm not wrong, so I think the title is The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford or something like that. I will confirm and put in the show notes. And she has such a powerful exercise that she shared that I love to do is assigning. So when you bring your awareness and you just, instead of suppressing those aspects, allow them to come to the surface and to come from the place of love, she assigns a personality. So she gives them a name. Take that aspect of yourself that you kind of want to suppress and push away because you don't really like it and you feel like it's bothering you and it's annoying pattern or this thing. Like the less, from the traditional standpoint, the less quote-unquote lovable aspects, or at least the ones that are not as automatic to love coming from conditioning, right? And those aspects. So she gives them a name. So that's, you know, Slutty Susan or whatever. That's that was one that was really funny. But she gives them, yeah, it was like the emo Emily or something. And then,
I already know what my name would be. It would be Violet. I don't know why. I always feel like that's multiple. like my alter ego. It's like the sassier. the sassier version.
And she says how you can give that name and an image, and you can journal, you can draw that person and or just visualize if this aspect were a real person, what would be their name? And that for every aspect of you. So the aspect that is, you know, that part of you that is just holding back and pushing people away and putting that wall up, and then you can imagine her. And that was something that came up from my exercise. And you can imagine her as this skinny, small, fragile looking girl that is on the corner just by herself, kind of with the, you know, tense shoulders up and in just that protective because she feels fragile. And you just imagine, you tune into what that personality would be, what that character would be. So coming from that place already, it's easier to look at it from love. And then you can, in meditation, see that character and connect and just ask, what do you need? And it might be attention. It might be love. It might be just, hey, I just want you to acknowledge me and not ignore me the whole fucking time because I feel like I'm not seen. And the moment you just see them, okay, I see you. I see that you're here. It's not going to lash out, like I said. It's not, it doesn't feel the need to act out when you give it what it needs.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. It's really interesting because I've heard this before, actually. I was listening to a podcast the other day and it was actually from Shaman Durek. They were talking about this, labeling these parts of yourself and seeing it from another lens, because it's very, very easy for us to judge ourselves. We tend to give more love to others than we do to ourselves. And the funny thing about that is, and I was actually talking to a client about this the other day, is that a lot of the times we think that we're being nicer to other people and, you know, we're harsher on ourselves, and then we end up not getting, you know, what we want or what we deserve. But in reality, that's also ego-based. We're not giving love to other people. If we give love to other people and we don't give love to ourselves, what we're actually doing is trying to receive validation. Mm. And that's an egotistical action, right? It's like, I'm going to please you because I want you to validate me. I want you to tell me that I'm good and that I am loved. But that is not actually being present in a container of love with someone. Right. And so when we don't truly, and I'm not, I think we've had, you know, a couple of conversations before, you know that I'm not a love and light person. I love to work with the darkness, actually. And so I am not into spiritual bypassing or any of that. But a big lesson as I moved through shadow work this year has been how much love is important. How important and what an important tool it is on this journey. And it's not about bypassing. It's not about overriding. You know, it's not about going over the work that we're supposed to do and just like diving into love. It's not about that. It's about using love as a flashlight to see the truth.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So how do you balance tending to the shadow work, right? So showing up for the inner work, going to the deep places and the shadows and the uncomfortable places, because like you said, it's not just, maybe I look at this thing that sometimes triggers me and I might journal about it every once in a while, here and there, and then let's go to the light. Lighting love and all, you know, it's all good all the time because it's all about love. No, it's tending to the darkness. So how do you balance still showing up for the shadow work, but maintaining a certain vibration? So what I mean, how do you not get lost in the darkness and caught up in that lower vibration of the work you're showing up for, if that makes sense? Does that make sense?
It does. Mm. And let me tell you, it has not been easy. You know, as you know, I've been led here to Tulum, Mexico, where I am now completing my process here. And I've been here for about 5 months. And I specifically came here. I was led here to do shadow work. And I did not know that that's why I was led here. I knew that I was being led because of a process that I was in, but I was unaware of the process. I knew I was in a process, but I didn't actually know what was going on. And so it felt so thick. So I asked Spirit to lead me because I was going to release control because I knew that my control wasn't coming from the proper place. So I was led here. And once I got here, there's such a deep healing energy here that it's so easy to induce a process that as soon as I got here, I dropped deeply into the shadow work that I was doing. And once I saw the shadow, it became very clear what I was working around. And when I do work, it's not like, oh, I'm going to work on this. Oh, that's the thing I'm going to, it's kind of like, this is the category. These are all the subcategories you're going to go through. That's the type of work that I do. I don't leave that category until I see everything. I request that. And so that's something that I've been learning to not get lost in there, because what happens is these stagnant energetic points that have solidified themselves into shadow, you need to be with them for long enough so that they can start to move. Mm-hmm. You don't just see them and they begin to move around and that's voila, I saw the shadow, I'm good. A lot of people talk about shadow work, and that truly is what I guess that's how they've coined it. It's, I see the shadow, now I'm just going to like,
right.
Cause once you see it, like all the emotions come up, right. And they're usually low frequency emotions. So they're dense. But what a lot of people do is they just sit with it. And then once they snap out of it, they come out and they think that they did the work, but that's not the complete, round of shadow work, because what it truly is, and I learned this from my really good friend, and actually shadow integration coach, Chris, is that shadow integration is the complete process.
I love that.
Yeah. So a lot of people are missing a big chunk of the work. And what happens is it keeps coming up. So they are continuously throwing themselves into the same process, but they're not actually moving out of it.
Mm. And integration part.
Yeah, the integration part is
It's huge. Not shadow awareness. It's no, shadow exactly. integration. And it's not coming from the mind level where, oh, I saw the shadow. I know what it is. I can write down what it is. I can filter it through my logical brain, the ego, the logical mind, from the mind level, right? So I can put a name on it and now I can move on. That's not integrated in the shadow. Such a good point.
No, yeah. When we are moving through this work with our clients, one request that we always have or that we try to guide them out of is moving out of the rational mind and into the emotional body. Because the wounded child will not speak through the rational mind. The rational mind is going to rationalize the fact that, no, I know I'm worthy. Like, obviously, look at all my accomplishments. But that's your rational mind speaking. Your being, your core, believes something else. And the fact that you are unable to address it is what's keeping you stuck. And so we need to speak to your emotional body. Because there's an energetic point over there. There's a shadow that is manifesting itself because you keep trying to rationalize it. So the rational mind isn't going to do anything with the shadow. It's actually going to see it and then suppress it, talk yourself out of it, you know? And so when I discovered that, I was like, oh my God, there's more to it. Jesus Christ. So that, you know, again, brought me deeper. And I know you asked about like, how do I manage not staying in those low frequency? Well, the thing with the shadow is that when you are in the process, you cannot rush it. Like that's one of the rules that we have in our program. Do not rush the shadow integration. Do not rush the processing. You have to see your shadow as this wounded child. And, you know, when someone's wounded, or if you can even imagine just like a dog that has been abused and you go and you rescue it from the shelter and it may snap at you. It may not want you to touch it. It may not like that you connect with it. And so you kind of just like stay in the same room with it. You know, you allow it to approach you and then it'll start to express itself a little bit more and you'll start to see different sides of it. And you yourself, you're going to start to have different feelings. You know, you may even move through your own sadness and grief for this animal that has come from this wounded place. But you're seeing it with love, and that's where it begins to express itself. Just because it's not giving you an answer, if you begin to tap into that, again, toxic masculine where you are rushing the process, and that rushing of the process is coming from another wound. It's like, you know, I'm scared to stay here. I'm going to lose something. You know, and if I lose that thing, it means something else about me. So it's like you start to uncover all these other parts of yourselves. Sometimes you're doing shadow work and you uncover other shadows being in that shadow work. And it's like, it's so important.
Shadow inception.
Oh my God, girl. So it's important to try your best to be with one process at a time. That's what I highly recommend. Try to be with one process at a time. And if you have these discoveries where you see other shadows, always have a notebook nearby. Always have a journal. Journal your process, because a lot of the times what happens as well is there's this term called gatekeepers. And what they do is, again, they're just trying to protect you, but they try to keep you from the shadow. And they come out as confusion, disconnect. A lot of the things that I see clients do is say, I don't know. Every single person I've worked with has said, I don't know, when we ask them a question around their shadow. And so like, that's also a thing, brain fog, inability to feel emotions, like all of these things are gatekeepers. They're trying to keep you from the shadow, again, just to protect you, because they think that if you see the shadow, you know, you're going to feel all these emotions and, you know, that's destructive or whatever it is, whatever we're programmed to believe. So when you are in the process, it's really important to learn What self-care tactics can I apply that help me raise my vibration, not to override or disconnect from the process, but to keep me afloat? Because if we're not careful, what shadow work does is it's such density that you're moving through. Like you're inviting in dense, thick energy. I guess we can say blocks, even though they're not, they're just solidified because we did that, right? We solidified it. It's not a, you know, sabotaging thing or anything like that, but there are these dense blocks, parts of our personality that we've neglected for so long, and they're so stagnant and they're so dense, and they hold so much sadness because of all of the suppression and the disconnect from it, and how it's been mistreated, that now we have to process all of that. And these are very low frequency emotions. And so we can't rush it though. That's the thing. Like you can't have an expectation from it. Like it's like being in a relationship and you're like, well, I'm in this relationship because I'm going to get this from you. Mm. You know what I mean? Like that's not the way to go about it. Like I want to make more money, so I'm going to be with this shadow. Like that's not
right.
That's not going to do anything for you. Like you're wasting your time. It really is like, I love myself so much. I do have a bigger vision, right? I want to help humanity heal. But in order for me to do that, I have to come from a place of wholeness, not a fragmented place, because that's going to project pain and fear from all of these suppressed parts of my personality. But again, it's really important to be present with it, to practice simultaneously holding your vision and self-care practices that help you heighten your frequency so that you can have the ability to move through shadow work and not get stuck.
Right. This is right. So good. And you actually answered the next question that I had, because I was going to ask you your tip to the woman listening that is interested in doing the work, but feels overwhelmed or scared by the idea of working on the shadows, because it feels like a lot and you're kind of, oh, I don't know what I'm going to find there. So what would you say is a good, you know, tangible way to start, knowing that you're holding space, knowing that it's safe for this to come up? And you mentioned the self-care.
Yes, self-care is crucial. And I also am going to highly suggest shadow work is a confusing method when you first come across it. I did it without knowing I was doing it for about 7 years. But what was happening there is I was lacking the integration part, because I didn't have foundational knowledge around the practice. And so I was seeing patterns play out over and over and over again. And even though I saw my shadow, I didn't know why these patterns kept playing out. And it truly was the moment that I met my now very good friend and practically brother, that I've co-created the Shadow Masters program with, where he taught me, you know, he's been teaching me everything that he knows, because he has studied this. This is the one practice that he has been working with and doing research around and practicing and using on his clients. And so having that knowledge, having someone facilitate experiences for me, having a leader that is, you know, a pro at what he does, helping me move through it and helping me with clear awareness around what's actually going on, so that I don't drop into an illusion while I'm doing shadow work, because that's also a very easy thing to fall into, because there are so many beliefs and opinions and fears and all of these things that you can fall into. And, you know, pretty much so as to not waste your time or get more confused, I actually do highly recommend working with a professional and learning from them, because this isn't like, I mean, I was about to say a guided meditation, but you know what, girl, even meditation, like before I used to put on YouTube, like meditations and sit there and try to meditate. And then I went to study with a teacher who taught secular meditation, which is called MBSR, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Meditation, which was created at the University of Massachusetts by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn. When I went to study with her for a couple of months, I realized I was doing it all wrong. So this is the thing with all of these practices, is we have to understand that the mind is so vast and the programmings are so deep and the illusion that we live in is so real that it's absolutely crucial to learn from someone who has really mastered this craft, or, you know, just sign up for a program, have a mentor, ask them questions, be a student, and really learn what you're doing so that you don't dive into another illusion. Depending on the internet, to teach yourself is a very, very tricky thing when we're working with the internal environment. The internal environment for me is equivalent to a black hole. You never know where you're going. And so you can easily be carving out a new illusion within you without even knowing it. So a set of fresh, you know, a fresh pair of eyes to bring in a new perception, a perception that is very neutral, that lacks any type of judgment, that has a pure sense of guidance for you, and holds the highest intention for your well-being, is really, really important when you're learning a new practice or a new method. So to be super honest, I highly recommend doing that. And learning and really applying this. This is truly a lifelong method to practice. It's absolutely life-changing. If I could, I have so many practices that I love, and it's so tricky for me to say, but I actually doubted myself right now. But if there was one practice, and this is what, you know, one of the things that Chris and I believe is that if there's one practice to really heal humanity and bring peace and solve most of the world's problems, it is shadow integration work. And with that, I would even add the MBSR practice, which is the secular version of meditation and really works with brain states. And what this type of meditation does is it, or any meditation, right? For that matter, is it grows specific parts of your brain, like literally the mass of your brain grows. And so it takes you away from dementia or Alzheimer's, and it grows parts of your brain, like the part that holds compassion, which is really beautiful. And if we don't have compassion, we can't do shadow work. We can't heal, thus helping others heal. And so two of the practices that I truly believe would heal all of our problems in the world truly is the practice of MBSR meditation and shadow integration work.
Love that. So powerful. And we could probably talk about this for 5 hours straight.
Yes.
But thank you, Hyla, so much for sharing. This is super helpful. And for you guys listening, you can find all the links where you can find Hyla online in the show notes. I'll make sure to drop everything below. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today and sharing your approach to shadow work, because I feel it's super needed and so timely. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I love our conversations.
Me too. I hope you loved today's episode. And if you did, please don't forget to take a minute and leave a star review or a comment on iTunes. I create this content from my soul to support yours. And this makes all the difference to help my message get out there and reach the people who need to listen. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.